probably may not be aware of it, the Australian fault net. The birth of it was in, it started off in Mushoe. We used to work with the test desk of the teletype area, in the teletype area, and also in the main trunk exchange. And one night we had a problem with the teletype circuit. The circuits went out. And they were out, and all of a sudden we thought that they were around about Woomera. And all of a sudden they came okay. And a few minutes later I had a phone call and said, "This is the telegraph tester. We've heard that you've had a problem with your teletype circuits." And I said, "Yes, but it's all over." But he only heard the word "yes." And then all hell broke loose. The circuits went out. They were testing right, left, and center. And the whole thing was just because the person that was listening only got the one word "yes" and not the follow-up few words. It was such a shambles. It took nearly half an hour. Fortunately, we weren't, I think we were doing a sim or something, but it took a long time before we got everything back again, because everybody was finding their section of the line was okay. We'd then go to somebody else to test and so on. And I had a discussion then with the Peter Saw, the telegraph tech that I said was responsible for maintaining the Model 28s. And I said, this is terrible. I don't quite know. And we talked around it, and I said, what we want is something which we can control the people. So we talked about it, and finally we talked to the people in PMG, and it was agreed that it was a jolly good idea if we could get some kind of a lash-up where we had a voice circuit totally dedicated to fault-finding. And so the AFN, or the Australian Fault Net, was born. And it first started off with, just the... in Mushoe, of course, we didn't have... I'm trying to think whether it was ever extended to Sydney. But at least we had contact with the people who had contact with other people, if you know what I mean. And but from there, it developed into a far-reaching monster. And particularly during the Apollo missions, it finally got down. Before I go any further, when we went into a mission, we had special coverage on critical coverage. And the critical coverage, of course, just meant that everybody kept their hands off and
didn't fix anything.
Tested all the patch circuits and everything like that. But it also meant bringing up the Australian fault net. And we then had it connected, particularly during Apollo, to every station where the actual circuit was connected to a different system, so that if anything went wrong, you might get a system failure between point B to point C, but the circuit from A to B would be still okay, but we wanted to be at that point to determine where the fault was, so they could patch in the appropriate alternative circuit. And it later developed that when I was running the comm centre in Canberra, I instigated an hourly voice check, because people would be sitting out there in the wild, nowhere, and of course there'd be a tendency for them to drop off.
Yes.
And we would call, and if we didn't get an answer within 5 minutes, We then rang and we woke the guy up and got him back onto the job again. But it was one thing that really was a major instrument in enabling us to quickly fault find.
Mm.
We also had it, of course, during the period when we were getting video from the moon, and they had Charlie.
Goodman.
Goodman, yes. Old Charlie Goodman, yes. He nearly came to blows over the wire at one stage.
Oh, really?
Charlie was trying to tell me what to do, and I said, Charlie, you just keep your mouth shut. I'm doing this, and go on. Yes, he went off. We went. But Charlie and I were really good friends. I don't know whether you know it, but he was a fire chaser. He would follow the fire truck. It was a sort of a hobby of his. I think he belonged to a fire brigade at one stage of the game, but as he got older, he was still involved, and he loved chasing fire trucks.
He was based at Goddard, wasn't he?
He was based at Goddard. He was a very knowledgeable person. And well past retirement age, but still had his brains about him, or wits about him.
And when you listen to the Net 2 recording of the Apollo 11 EVA, he clearly was enjoying being there at Paddington.
Oh, yes. The way that was set up was that he and Peter Trost were down at Sydney Video or whatever it was, but then I had the responsibility of doing the fault finding.
Right.
So if anything went wrong, I was the guy that had to track it down, and it was sort of working a little bit in. I wouldn't call it by guesswork, because that wouldn't have been true. But, you had to visualise what was going on, from what Charlie would tell me.